So we're talking about discouragement tonight, and we talked a little bit about what discourages us. And sometimes it's physical ailments, sometimes it's the weather, sometimes it's circumstances, and a lot of different things that can cause us to get discouraged. And even all of us as Christians, from time to time, get discouraged. And here's the thing we need to understand. Discouragement is not a one-time thing. So here's my point. It's not like tonight I'm going to preach a sermon and you're going to be like, okay, I'm never going to get discouraged again because I've heard a sermon on discouragement. It's not a one-time thing. Here's something else you need to understand about discouragement. It is contagious. Discouragement is contagious. You hang around a discouraged person, you will be discouraged. I've seen people try to encourage discouraged people and come away discouraged. And so... So your discouragement can cause other people to be discouraged. I can tell you this time and time again, there have been many times where my wife has been discouraged, and then I, as a result, I've become discouraged. But here's the great thing. Even though it's contagious, it's curable. It is curable. So tonight we're going to ask this question first before we go to it. We're going to land in Nehemiah chapter 4 tonight. If you want to go there, but... why do I get discouraged? And when you look at the reasons people get discouraged, it's really the circumstances around it may be different, but the core feelings, the core reasons are a lot the same. And many of you will agree as we put these up there. I can tell you, this first one is a big one for me. I tend to get discouraged when I get tired. I tend to get discouraged when I get tired. And all you young parents are like, all the time I'm tired, right? When we get, and it's not necessarily just physically. You can get tired mentally. I can tell you so many times where I've gone through things in a long period of time, whether it's emotionally or mentally or physically, and then right after it gets done, then I just kind of crash. Like during those difficult times, those difficult circumstances, I was able to get through it. But when we overcame it, that's when I got discouraged. Y'all remember Elijah when he fought the prophets of Baal and faced the prophets of Baal. He did everything perfectly. But then right after that victory is when he got incredibly discouraged because we get tired. The truth of the matter is, a lot of people will tell me this is a bad pastor. I've been having these things in my life and I just need to rededicate my life. The truth of the matter is most people don't need rededication. They just need rest. So I tell people all the time, sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is take a nap. Or spiritual thing you can do is go to bed early. Or sleep in a little bit. Or make an appointment with what we call Dr. White Sheets. You just need to get some rest. Relaxation or a few days away. So one of the reasons many of us get discouraged is we get tired. How many of you have ever been discouraged because you were really tired? Good. So we all can agree with that one. The next one is this. We get frustrated. They didn't do what I thought they should have done. Or it didn't happen the way that I thought it should have happened. We look at our problems and they seem so much bigger than the good in our life and the God in our life. Discouragement can come when we focus more on the problems and the difficulties than the good in our life and the God in our life. And there can be so much junk in our lives, can't it? It seems that there can be so much junk we can't even deal with it. There's a phrase we use a lot. It's called paralysis by analysis. You look at it and there's so much and you're just like, oh, I can't even dig out of this. So I'm just going to go take a nap, right? Because it's like the pile paralyzes us. Where do I start? Where do I begin? Because we don't know where to begin. We don't know where to start. So we get tired. We get frustrated. The third, we fail. Another reason that we struggle with discouragement is we fail. We feel like we can't, so we don't. Have you been there? And guess what? We throw a party for one. It's called a pity party. And we complain. We blame others. Well, if it's the person I worked with, or the person that I lived with, or my kids would. But here's the thing. Winners, champions see failure as a temporary setback. But losers see failure as final. And when we get in that mindset, as failure is final, that's what brings us down. That's what brings us low. The Bible says that a just man or a just person falls seven times. It's not that he doesn't fail. It's what he does when he fails. He gets back up. He rises up again. So we fail. And then the fourth one is huge. This one is kind of even in the midst of all these. We fear. We get tired. We get frustrated. We fail. And we fear. For many of us, you may have fears that discourage you right now. I know people that fear criticism. But if somebody said something bad about them, it would ruin their day. Some are afraid of looking dumb. Embarrassment. I'm afraid of trying. I'm afraid of making this because if it doesn't work out, I'll be embarrassed. I'll look stupid. Some fear that we're not ready until everything is absolutely perfect. Any perfectionist out there? Everything has to be just so. And here's the thing, regardless of the reason that you fear, fear always discourages you. So, somebody asked me this a long time ago, and I think it's a good question. How can you tell if your discouragement is being caused by fear? Here's how I know. If your discouragement is being caused by fear is this. You have a constant desire to run. You know what fear makes us want to do? Run and hide. If you've ever thought this, man, I just got to get out of here. I just got to get out of here. I need to escape. And some of us, we escape in many different ways, escape the pressures of life. We all have our escape mechanism. It all comes from fear. So tonight, what I want to do is I want to help you to see, and the funny thing about this is the passage we're going to read deals with all four of these things. So the people that were part of Nehemiah's team of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, they go through all four of these emotions and these things. And so as a result, they are utterly discouraged. So if you remember the story of Nehemiah, Nehemiah was banished away working for the king. And he hears of the state of Jerusalem and that the walls are torn down. And just things are not ready to defend against the enemy, and so people are just kind of having their way with Jerusalem. And so he gets really discouraged about that, and the Lord opens a door as he begins to pray and think about it, that the king says, "Hey, what's wrong? You're not your normal chipper self." And he says, "How can I be when my people are being attacked and my city has been destroyed?" So the king gives him a chance to go back to Jerusalem and literally rebuild the walls. And so when you come to Nehemiah chapter 4, Nehemiah is leading a team of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. And when the project began, everybody was like, "Woohoo! Let's go! Let's get it! Let's work overtime!" But after a while, like anything that takes time, people began to get discouraged. So we come to Nehemiah chapter 4, and look at verse 1. "But it came to pass that when Sambalat heard that we built the wall," so as soon as they decided to do something good, here's the funny thing is, not everybody was excited that they were doing something good. Understand in life, whenever you decide that you're going to do what God wants you to do, that does not mean everybody's going to be excited that you're doing what God wants you to do. Notice his reaction to this. You heard that we built the wall. He was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. Here's the idea. Whenever you decide that you're going to do something that God wants you to do, there's going to be opposition. Your own flesh is going to fight you. The devil is going to fight you. See, a lot of people think that as soon as they say yes to God, it gets easier. But also, sometimes it's going to get harder before it gets easier because you kind of woke not only God up in your life, you woke the devil up in your life. He's like, "I didn't need to worry about you before, and now I do. So I'm going to create as much opposition as I can to make it harder for you." And so by the time we get to verse 6, look at verse 6. "So build me the wall." They were doing exactly what God told them to do. "And all the wall was joined together under the half thereof." They were halfway done. "For the people had a mind to work. They were working hard. They were going at it. But what you see in verse 6 is they're halfway done. Have you ever been in a big, long project? When you're halfway done, what sets in? Oh, I'm tired. We came out with a ball of fire. We ran out in a sprint. We did everything we could, but now we're halfway done. 26 days in, and they are worn out. They're worn out physically. They're worn out emotionally. Why are they worn out emotionally? Because they're going home and they're hearing about all these enemies. See, all the enemies that surrounded Jerusalem, they just came and pillaged and took from the people of Jerusalem whatever they want. But now they're rebuilding the walls. It's not going to be so easy to just come and take what they want. So what they're trying to do first is they're starting to threaten. We're going to get you. We're going to kill you. We're going to take you down. You better not be doing this. And so these people are working hard during the day and going home and dealing with the fears of their families at night. So when does fatigue and discouragement come about? When you're halfway through. I don't know about you, I'm really good at starting something. I'm not so good at finishing. Life settles down into a routine. How many of you have ever started a project with great momentum, but then didn't finish it? Do you know how many books in my library have a bookmark halfway through the book? You start reading and get going, get excited, and then all of a sudden get excited about another book and start reading that. And then you read another one. That's just something that's happened to me. And I would tell you this, being tired is one of the number one causes of discouragement. And it often comes right at the halfway point. When you're halfway through, you want to be through, right? Can we just get this done? It was a great idea when I pulled all the clothes out of the closet, but now I want to go to bed, but all these clothes are on my bed, right? That is why so many of us seldom complete anything. And then look at this, verse 7. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites, you know who all these were? These were all the enemies that loved being able to have easy access to Jerusalem and just take whenever they wanted. But when they heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth. Why do you think they were getting mad? Because they were losing control. You see, when you're discouraged and when people have a hold of you, they like to be able to control you. But when you begin to focus on God and do what He wants you to do, they realize they can't control you anymore, and they'll actually turn that anger on you. They're losing control. They're getting scared. Notice what they do. And conspired all of them. Before, they were separate enemies. But now all of a sudden, they see things coming together, so we need to have a meeting. So they're getting together, and it conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Listen, you can go in there when you want, and you can take the crops, and you can take this, and now all of a sudden it's going to be a lot harder to do this. So let's come together, and let's make this easy access easy. Let's get them. So what they wanted to do then is they wanted to cause confusion. Verse 9, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God. What a great response, isn't it? These people are coming at them, they're saying mean things, they're conspiring, they're making plans, they're making these plans known, and it's got to even, and these people are discouraged from their being so tired, but what they did in that moment of fatigue and in that moment of discouragement is they turned to God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. But notice this, even that, this is good, but notice this verse 10. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we're not able to build the wall. Even though they turned to God in prayer, they still went out to work the next day and saw that, yes, we're halfway done, but there's still so much more to do. And we're so tired, and now we're frustrated because we got these people that just won't let us be. Notice why they were discouraged. There is much rubbish. The rubble's everywhere. When they looked at the rubble and they looked at the trash, they got discouraged. And they lost sight of their goal because there was so much junk in their lives that they did not know how to get to the real business of living. Some of us, we get that way, don't we? We start to look around and we want to get out of it, but there's just so much junk in our lives that we don't know how to deal with it. You can't avoid the rubbish in your life. You also can't sweep it under the rug, because you're just going to have a lot of rubbish under a rug. But what we can learn to do is recognize it. And you can learn what to do with it so you don't give up on your original plan. What is the rubbish in your life right now? What is the stuff that when you look at it overwhelms you? What are the things in your life keeping you from what God wants? You know what gets me discouraged? And I found this, when the flat surfaces in my world have a lot of stuff on it. My dresser, my nightstand, my desk, my inbox. When they start to feel out of control for me, I start to feel like this is too much. And you can only shove some of that in the junk drawers, right? So that rubbish can really get you discouraged. And what we eventually end up doing is, oh, we can't do it. So we're just going to give up. So we see frustration. We see failure here in verse 10. This is just harder than we thought it was. We're never going to make it. We should just give up. So you see failure, frustration, fatigue already. But look at verse 11. And our adversary said, so they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. Now this is where the fear is. We're coming. You're not going to know when we're coming, but we're coming. You might as well worry about it because we're coming to get you and we're going to stop you. You see, the wall represented their safety, but their defense and their security, but it wasn't done yet. They were still vulnerable. And the enemies didn't want the Jews to have this. So they were going to do whatever they could to try and stop it. Do you notice how they've done this from reading chapter 4 so far? Look at what they've done. They criticized. They ridiculed. And then they threatened. We're going to kill you if you keep on building. We sent you a warning. We sent you a letter. We told you to stop. But if you don't stop, we are going to kill you. And so they got even more discouraged because of fear. Look at all the things that we talked about that can cause discouragement are right in this passage. Then look at verse 12. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they sent unto us 10 times. From all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Notice the ones who got the most discouraged. Do you see it here? And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by who? Them, the enemies. The ones who got the most discouraged were the ones who were listening to the most discouragement. So this is what they did. They're taking their discouragement and they're bringing into the city with the ones who hadn't heard it, and they're saying it over and over and over again, they're going to get us. So the discouraged ones are not coming into the city and finding encouragement from them. The discouraged ones are coming into the city to discourage the ones who aren't discouraged. And now everybody's discouraged. My dad used to tell me, he says, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. You become like who you hang around. You hang around negative people, then guess what? You're going to be negative. Someone says it can't be done long enough, guess what? Start believing. Well, I don't think it can be done. So, what do I do then? We see all of these elements here in Nehemiah chapter 4. What do I do then? What should I do when I get discouraged? What should I do when I get discouraged? So I'm going to give you 3 words. So that even though right now you may not be discouraged, if you try to remember these words, it can really help you that you can learn from this passage. So here they are. Reorganize, remember, and resist. The 3 R's. Reorganize, remember, and resist. So these are the 3 steps to take when you get discouraged. How can you deal when you are discouraged? What should you do? The first one is this. Reorganize your life. Reorganize your life. Here's the point. You're getting through, you're halfway through, you're getting discouraged, and you're kind of stuck and you don't know what to do. Find a better way. You've been doing it a certain way, you're kind of bogged down. Find a better way. And that's exactly what they did here in Nehemiah chapter 4. Look at verse 13. Therefore, so in light of all this, the fear, the failure, the frustration, the fatigue, so in light of all this that's happening, they're threatening us, they're ridiculing us, they say they're going to kill us. Therefore, in light of what they've done, set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. So what they've been doing is they've been building, they've been doing everything. They're in the wall working as hard as they can. He says, you know what? We're going to slow this down. We're going to take our time. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to set people on the wall. Some are going to build, and they're going to have weapons with them. And then there are other guys, instead of having two guys build, one guy's going to build, and one guy's going to be on guard. And yes, it's going to take us longer, but it's going to help people to feel safe. They're going to know it's coming. But notice what else he does. I even set the people after their families with their swords, spears, and bows. Who's going to be most likely to defend your family? You. So he's putting the people and their families together. You're going to fight for the people you love. And he put them together. What Nehemiah did here is genius. He reorganized. He developed a new system. When you get discouraged, don't give up. Instead, trust God to give you a new approach. I think this is interesting. It's not in your notes, but I wanted to put it up here now. When you are discouraged, it does not necessarily mean that you're doing the wrong thing. You could be doing the right thing the wrong way. So you need to reorganize. When you get discouraged, it doesn't necessarily mean you're doing the wrong thing. You could be doing the right thing, but you might be doing it the wrong way. I can tell you time and time again in different areas of my life where it wasn't that I was doing the right thing. I was just doing it the wrong way. And so that can definitely cause discouragement. Was it wrong for the Jews to be rebuilding the wall? No, it was a God-ordained vision. But they were doing the right thing the wrong way, and as a result, they got discouraged. So whether you have a problem in any of your life, your marriage, your job, your friendships, don't give up. Seek a new attitude. Seek a new approach. Look at it from a different angle. And you may be discouraged because there's an immense amount of pressure on you. Maybe your workload is unbearable. Maybe you're just trying to do too much. God's message to us is reorganize. Reorganize your time. Reorganize your schedule. Refocus on your goal. Reorganize, but let me tell you this, reorganize His way, not your way. Clear out the clutter. Clear out the rubble. Clear out the things that are wasting your time. And then, look at this. When we are discouraged, we need people who will encourage us. I thought it was interesting that when he reorganized, he put the people with their families. Why would he do that? Because when you're discouraged, you need family. You need your regular family, your church family. You know, we've learned over the last couple years, Heather and I, that we can encourage each other, but we're starting to recognize that there are times where it's still good for Heather just to go home and see her mom and dad for a few days. In fact, she's going to be doing a conference, and the conference is near where her parents are. And I said, just stay an extra few days. Spend some time with your family. I got to go see my parents in February. Boy, it was a great, encouraging time for me. Sometimes you just need your family. But you also, this is another thing, when you get discouraged, you need your church family. You know, one of the things that I'm most excited about being part of a family with you guys over these years is we're going to need each other over these years. And we can't always fly to Ohio when we get discouraged. And there are going to be things that happen. And there are going to be times when you're discouraged and times when I'm discouraged. Let's just decide now that we're going to be each other's family and support each other through the difficult times. That we're going to lift people up when they're down rather than kick them when they're down. And when we do get discouraged, we need people who encourage us. Isn't that true so much? You know, we don't need the discouraging people bringing the encouraging people down. We need the encouraging people to be encouraging the discouraging people. So reorganize. And then next, remember. Remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. Boy, when we get discouraged, I think it's so easily to look at, we forgot God. We've lost focus on Him. Look at what Nehemiah 4:14 says. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Don't be afraid of the enemy. Yes, they're yelling. Yes, they're threatening. Yes, they're coming at us. Don't be afraid of them. But notice what he says next. Remember the Lord. Because, yes, these guys are scary. But if you'll remember the Lord, you don't need to worry about these guys. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible. And fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. Get focused on Him. Do what He's called us to do. And we'll be okay. Here's what He's saying. Let's get back to trusting God rather than fearing the enemy. Let's draw on His power. Let's trust in Him. There are several ways you need to remember. These aren't in your notes, but I'm going to put them up here first. Remember God's goodness to you in the past. When you're discouraged, remember what He's done for you in the past. Remember His goodness for you in the past. But also remember His closeness in the present. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's with you. Remember how good He's been to you back there. Remember how close He is to you right now. And remember His power in the future. Nothing can stop Him. God will give you what you need when you need it. And here's where discouragement comes from. It comes from stinking thinking. We're thinking the wrong way. We're discouraged. We have discouraging feelings, which leads to discouraging thoughts. And then the same thing is true. You begin to gather encouraging feelings come from encouraging thoughts. So remember God's goodness in your past, His closeness in the present, and His power in the future. So reorganize, remember, and then resist. Resist discouragement. I love what he said in verse 14. Fight! Just fight! Don't yield to the discouragement. Fight these sources. Resist it. Isn't it true? We're in a constant battle. We're constantly battling our enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And the devil loves to get us down. He knows that a discouraged Christian has a limited potential. So he does everything he can to discourage us. But thankfully, God gives us a way to deal with the devil. James 4:7. Now, I think we get this verse wrong because we just focus on the second part. But the key to the second part starts in the first part. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. What is submission? God, you know what is best. I trust that you will give me what I need when I need it. So I'm going to do what you tell me to do. So when I submit myself to God, then resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You resist the devil without trusting God, you will fail 100 times out of 100. But when you submit yourselves, therefore, to God, resist the devil, here's what he's going to do. Oh, he's trusting God right now. I can't win, so I'm out of here. I'm going to go try to find somebody else that I can beat. Submit to God. Resist the devil. Can I just tell you this? Discouragement and depression are very different. Discouragement is a choice. You can choose to give into it, or you can refuse to be discouraged. You can quit, or you can refuse to quit. Don't give up when you're tired. Don't give up when you're frustrated. Don't give up when you're afraid, or when you're fearful, or when you fail. Trust God and don't give up. And what are the three? Reorganize. Remember, resist. Reorganize your life. Try a different way. Remember the Lord. Get focused on Him. Trust Him. Do what He wants you to do, when He wants you to do. And then resist discouragement. How do we resist discouragement? We submit ourselves to God, which is remembering the Lord. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. I love Nehemiah chapter 4. Because they are in right where we're feeling. They're right where we're at. They're right where we're struggling. Man, it seems like we've come so far, but there's so far to go. Don't get discouraged. Reorganize, remember, and resist. That's right. Father, thank you tonight for the truth of your word. And I pray that we would learn from Nehemiah. And the next time that we're discouraged, Lord, first of all, we'll reorganize. We'll look at it from a different perspective. We'll do it in a different way. We'll seek you. And then, Lord, as we remember you, we'll not focus on the enemy that's coming at us. We'll focus on the one that is greater than our enemies. And then, Lord, we can resist the discouragement by simply just walking out and trusting and obeying you. Lord, thank you for Nehemiah. But, Lord, I pray for those tonight that are discouraged in their own life. I pray, Lord, that you'd help them to make that choice to do these things, to seek you. And, Lord, you lead them out of there. Discouragement. Lord, may this sermon tonight for those that are discouraged be an encouragement to them. May it be a help to them. And Lord, for those of us that aren't struggling with it, that Lord, we would remember this the next time we are discouraged and we make the choice to trust in you. For it's your name I pray. Amen.